We turn now to our shorter catechism lesson. Our catechism lesson we turn to is on page 671 of the Trinity Hymnal. Once again, I'll read the question and let the congregation read in unison the answer with me. We arrive at question 83, which states, are all transgressions of the law equally heinous? The answer, some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggregations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. Question 14 of the Shorter Catechism states, what is sin? And sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. So, I think that's kind of apparent. Any sin that violates God's law, transgression against God's law is sin, no matter how little or how big it might be. But the question here is stating that, according to the sight of God, there are some sins in them themselves that are more heinous than others. How can that be so? God is a spirit, and those who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. God has no feelings. He has no emotions. In fact, everything is in a single thought. What is conveyed to us, though, and through the scriptures, as we've seen, or to express the idea that God is trying to communicate with humankind, he has done them in various ways, whether it be by anamorphic language as a such, or certain feelings, because these are ways we can attain. These are various facilities we can understand just the attributes and the sheer characteristics of God. But the understanding with the law in and of itself was made for men. We have the law given to us so that as people made in the image of God, being reasonable creatures and understanding we exist in him, we understand his feelings. We understand his expectations. And we understand the light, what is expected from us in order to obey him. But granted, what's understood with these sins, and in their particular, the sins that are most heinous, they're heinous because God wants to give you the understanding of the repercussions and the actuality that comes with violating the law. Any sin, the sheer judgment is death. That is unequivocal. But the understanding that God has made a point and his law be known, there is a various reason, and he tells you the judgment and the ramification that comes with it. So, in our question, how is there so many ways that God can have sins that are more heinous than others? Well, in light, we see in creation, God tells Adam in the beginning that from any tree from the garden you can freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Like I stated before, here is the premise that God has given to Adam. You may eat of any of the tree that is in the garden, but of this tree you are not to eat. For what ramification? You will die. Before this, Adam didn't know what heinous actually meant. For how can he know? He knew no evil. And what was so important about the understanding with that particular tree? In that day he ate of it, he died. And why is so? His knowledge and his forefront came to being. He understood he was naked. For then God called man and he said, where are you? But man replied, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Then God explained, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I command you not to eat? This doesn't make God to be a pedophile. Just because they were naked, they did not know. But the sheer minute that he violated the law of God, he made it very clear on this day what the repercussion was going to be. And that what we can understand in our human nature, the ramifications of it. Everybody is born into sin and no one knows good. Again, we can see even to the effect of the Messiah and the betrayal. For example, early. And actually, in an understanding, in Matthew 26, the Lord spoke, for it is written that the Son of Man is to go up, but woe to the man who betrayed the Son of Man. For it would have been good for that man had he not been born. What do we take from here? Is it the sheer fact that though we don't know who the man actually was until later, do we see that the Son of Man is trying to say that this sin of all the sins can be more reputable? There's a reason to it. Judas was amongst the Messiah. Judas understands exactly who he was. So to have the gall to betray God himself, it would have been better had he not been born. And so to make clear to Pilate, to understand what authority Pilate actually had, Pilate thought, if he conveyed, I have the authority to release you. Do you not know I have outside authority to crucify you? The Messiah answered properly, you have no authority over me unless it's been given to you from above. And for this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. It actually is interesting when you continue down the narrative. Pilate actually, from that point forward, the scripture states he wanted to release Jesus that day. But sheer for the revolt that would have been with the Jews, he did not. So can we convey here the understanding that based on what God has defined as heinous, we can understand why there are certain sins that have more way than others. And I mind you, I even take it to you when we look at what we have gone through with the past shorter catechism questions. How we understand the understanding with the first law, and I'm sorry, the first table of the law, and on to the second. Do we not think about the understanding that the first tablet deals with our relationship with God compared to the second that deals with man? And so it's only at the forefront that those violations, and we've seen with the way that Israel conducted themselves with the civil law, that the effects that you have with the sins that are against God is more grievous than the sins you have with men. Also, consider the sins that are within those two tables and how you would think. The sin and the ramifications that came with having another God against violating the Sabbath day, you saw the repercussions. And then onto the other table, when you had issues with being insubordinate, people were put to death compared to those who covet others' belongings. So, the second part of our question deals with the reason by circle aggregation. What does this mean? Well, it brings on to the forefront about our own and our own position in terms of, I wouldn't say the parity, but in terms of our relationships. I mean, think about it this way. If someone who was in authority of power compared to a slave and they were to commit sin, which one would have more front? Which one would hold more scandal? Which one would seem to have more attention? Because when people are given certain gifts, you expect there to be certain responsibilities. And when those responsibilities are then neglected to the forefront, you come to think, well, why did you were given the gifts in the first place? So the larger catechism gives a little bit more detail about that. At the first, they tell us that when those sins, especially those of aggregations, are more heinous than others, it is more front that it is worse when they're considered to be parents against children, the magistrate against his own people, ministers against the church, and likewise others who are looking to guide and looking to lead others by their own life, by example. Again, how about the parties that's being considered to the people who go against God and the Godhead from Christ and the Holy Spirit? How about those who live in places of authority, the slaves going back on to their proper masters? How about the nature and the quality of the offense for those who break it in the expression of the law, to those who commit such scandals deliberately, willfully, boldly, maliciously, with delight, to those whose sins are more heinous? And then finally, how about consider the time to those who neglect the Lord's day and find that it's only on a holiday that they seem to give proper glory to God? That's something that's very thoughtful and that does not being taken into place. Or how about one who doesn't consider, the vocation by which they've done their deeds. For example, infamously, one of our leaders decided to take his sexual implications within the very office that he holds. And I won't name names. These are the sins that we see in our own life that holds a certain gravity and quality to them. And in the likewise, compared to God, every sin, and that's understood, every sin deserves death. But onto the work and the understanding of the law that God has given us, we can understand just the ramifications that those sins hold and all that it does in its actuality and its violations. But then we understand clearly the gravity that it holds with it. You're no less likely to kill someone if you know you're going to lose your life, compared to another sin when you know you're less likely to take something when you know something's going to be taken from you. Please stand. We will now have the Ten Commandments.